And would you, before we read the scripture reading, I just first off, if you have a Bible, grab hold of it. If you don't have one, find one in the pew Bibles. And turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, because we're going to be going through quite a bit of this morning, and you might like to be able to look at it. So if you have your Bible on your phone, you're allowed to be looking at your phone during church. So, but turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And also, how many of you have gardens? How's your garden doing? Everybody got a garden that's really producing well? You know, I'm getting the same response as I did the first service. They're kind of like, If you knew how you could make your garden produce more, would you do it? Well, we're going to look at how we can make our spiritual lives be much more productive and fruitful. So we're going to look at a lot of chapter 1, but we'll start with these verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The word of God for the people of God. Now, Jerry can tell you that, you know, years back on Memorial Day weekend up in Franklin, you guys familiar with Christ Castle up in Franklin? It's the old White Father's Monastery that is now part of Life Ministries, and what's the school's name?
Christian Life Academy.
But on Memorial Day weekend, there was a huge old barn that was like, I don't see, you don't have any barns around here this size, because we would have 500 to 1,000 people seated inside the barn, because Chuck Smith from Costa Mesa, California, Calvary Chapel, would come and speak to us there. And I remember one of the times he was speaking, he said that, you know, when Jesus would proclaim the word of God, he would stand and the people would sit. But when Jesus would teach, he would sit and the people would stand. Today I'm going to teach more than I'm going to preach.
Okay.
Thanks, Ed.
John, that song, Spirit Song, that we just sang was the theme song for his radio broadcast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Chapel, which is that, kind of cool, the tie in there.
So. Yeah, I forgot about that, yeah, but so yeah, he used to come every year with Brother Earl Tigert, and you could sit and listen to him. He was fascinating to listen to him. You know, as we look at this passage, you know, I just find so much of it interesting. Verse 1, which we read, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. You know, there's nothing unique or more powerful in the faith that Peter had, that John had, that the apostles had, than what you have. These people, as he's writing to, they have the same faith that's just as precious as what those great men had. There's nothing more precious than, you know, we have the same faith just as precious as what John Wesley might have had, that we have the same faith that might have, that Francis Asbury had. All the great people, you look back through Martin Luther, the faith that we have is just as precious as what they have. You know, it's faith in Christ that saves us from our sins, grants us grace and mercy for salvation. It's all the same kind of faith. So don't look at someone else that God's called into some very out, like Chuck Smith, as we're talking about, someone that's in this large thing. Your faith is just as precious in God's sight as what they are. And grace and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. You know, as we have more knowledge about Jesus and the God the Father, the grace we receive is in even more abundance. It's not something small, it's something large that we continue to receive. And then his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Everything we need is available to us. That's whether or not we will access it or not. Make it effective in our lives. Everything we need to be godly means to live with a God-focused attitude and lifestyle. So everything we need to have a godly attitude and lifestyle is available to us through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of knowing God and knowing grace. We're not lacking with anything that we need to have for our life. And through these things, he's given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The power that we have, the divine power, has given us through these great promises, so that we can participate in the divine nature. I honestly believe part of what he's talking about here, the great promises we have, is referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, as he promised his disciples, when they were waiting with him on the mountain as he's ascended to heaven, he said, you wait here until the Holy Spirit, that's a promise, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will give you, you know, he'll give you the power and everything you need. And you know, the disciples waited in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They had a faith before that Jesus had been resurrected. They were standing there talking with him. But then when the Holy Spirit fell, they needed that power to participate in what God was calling them to do. And you know, as the Spirit fell, then everything, the people all around that are seeing and hearing are like, what's going on? And it says 3,000 came to know Jesus that day. In Acts chapter 8, if you read that, you know, the persecution has started in the church. And Philip, he heads off, he goes to Samaria, and he begins to proclaim the word of God there. And it says, and the people believed, and there was a magician, a sorcerer there, Simon. He also believed. And Philip then baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. So now here are people with faith, followers of Jesus Christ. But then Peter and John come down to join Philip, and they find out they've not received the Holy Spirit. So Peter and John lay hands on them that they might receive that which would give them divine nature. And they prayed over him. Simon, that the sorcerer, he sees this. And he asked, he said, can I buy that with money? And he's rebuked, and then he has a prayer of repentance. But what is it that he noticed different with them laying on the hands and praying for the Holy Spirit? Something that would give them the divine nature suddenly is being released into their lives. Transformed life from just one of faith, but to one that carries the divine nature. Now, the nature of something, what that is, that's the natural and expected way you think something would behave. If you guys were to walk out of here today, and you're heading to your car, and you encounter a mother bear and her cubs, what do you think Mama Bear's reaction is going to be? I can hear you out there. You're like, somebody's probably going to get chewed on. A lot of you are going to scream and run away. That's going to be your divine, your natural nature is to scream and run away. And Mama Bear's going to, you never get between Mama and her cubs. I don't care what breed of animal it might be. You know, yeah. That's their nature. That's their nature. Now, I know Jerry's met him. How many of you have met our dog, Theo? Any Greg has, both Gregs have. You know, Theo, his nature is, I've never seen a person that shouldn't be my friend. You know, he does not come at you with any aggressive nature. He starts dancing when he's on the end of his leash. He sees you coming. He's excited. You know, oh, there's some. That's his nature. Our human nature is one that tends to seek its own passions and its sins. But here Peter's saying that, you know, his promises, the Holy Spirit, he's promising now that you can participate in the divine nature of God himself. You're not God, but you can participate. You're an active role in that divine nature of God. doesn't simply mean to act and pretend that way. It means that you're actually a part of it. You know, you can wear Steelers jerseys all you want, but you're not a Steeler. You know, the real Steelers are the ones that are dressed, sitting on the bench, or out on the field, and they're ready to play. See, what this is saying is now you get to be on the bench or in the field, ready to play with the very nature of who God is. So these are the things that, you know, we get to participate in it, but now that's all the part that God has done and provided for you. And then Peter shifts gears, and it's now what is expected for us to do. Because of that, because he's provided promises, we can participate in the divine nature. We have a faith that's precious. Everything is in abundance. Peter says, for this very reason, because of that, make every effort or all due diligence or, you know, work as hard as you can to add to your faith. We've received that faith, and it's a precious faith. It's as precious. So now, because of that, work very diligently with all your effort to add to your faith goodness. And what goodness is it's a moral virtue. It's having virtue. And, you know, it's a quality of moral excellence. I think all of us, you know, we see the news every now and then about some strong Christian leader that has failed in their goodness, their moral excellence, their virtue. You know, you can look back, Rabbi Zacharias, Bill Hybels, others, you know, years back, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, you know, and what the news hits the news media because their faith no longer has moral excellence along with that. You know, it's the quality of, you know, of that is it demonstrates a standard of behavior that's not in conflict with what you profess to believe. So add to your faith a standard of behavior that isn't in conflict with what you claim you have faith in. And then add to goodness knowledge. We need to continually grow in what we know and understand. And, you know, it takes diligence, it takes every effort to continue to learn, to grow. You know, sometimes in the things you're supposed to be learning, you can get sidetracked because you're not paying too much attention. Jerry cursed me with that one time. I don't think he knew that. He got me, you know, I got interested really wanting to learn the guitar, and I got hungry for the guitar, and that was the summer after high school. And Jerry was helping me, and I was into it. And, you know, my college grades were horrible. Because I'd rather sit at home and just play the guitar. You know, we can look at the knowledge we have of God, but we don't put effort into really coming to know who and what it is. And you never learn enough. There's always more to learn. You've heard that old saying, the more I know, the more I know I don't know. You know, and I'd seen a thing one time where it was some kind of a science project. A person was talking about that and how I think they were all given like something like a fish and to study, and they were to write a paper on what they found as they really studied the fish. And so he turned the paper in and said, you know, the fish is 12 inches long. It weighs 1 pound. You know, it's got two eyes. It's bluish in color, and it's covered with scales. And they turned their paper in with what it was, and professor said, go look at it again. So he spent more time looking at it, and then that time when he comes back, he said, the fish has individual scales. I count like 430 scales on this fish. You know, the weight is 1.3 point something. You know, it's not 12 inches long, it's like 11 and 7/8 inches long. You know, more depth, turn the paper in, the professor says, go look at it again. So eventually, you know, he kept seeing every time he looked at it, there was more to learn, more to know. We need to add to our faith knowledge, where our knowledge is always increasing and always growing. You know, I recently found a paper in my, I don't know where it came from. It's been around a long time. It was tucked in the back of a tablet, and it was 10 rules for being human. And I put it on Facebook if you want to look for it. But the first rule for being human is you will receive a body. You may like it, you may hate it, but you're going to get a body if you want to be human. Life is filled with lessons. Lessons are meant to be learned. If you don't learn them, you'll just keep repeating them over and over and over again. There's no mistakes, there's just more lessons. And that's the way it is with knowledge. There's just always more to learn, always more to learn. To add to your knowledge, add self-control. You know, and self-control is learning to maintain and control our own sinful passions, our own emotions, our own responses to the frustrations of the world and the temptations in life, learning to keep that all in check. In Ephesians, Paul says, put off the old man. That self-control, getting rid of the old things. It's like keeping your old sinful self in check. And then you add to self-control, perseverance. And when you hear something saying add to perseverance, you know, that immediately implies you're going to have hard times. It's easy to persevere when everything's going well. Perseverance means that, you know, there's going to be struggles along the way, trials along the way, times when you might lose your self-control, times when you may realize that, you know, I don't know enough and I get mad because I don't know how to do this, you know. Perseverance, it's a voluntary, steadfast endurance to press on even when you face and experience setbacks. Just like when you're on a diet, Thanksgiving rolls around, and you eat all kinds of stuff. You know, Thanksgiving comes shortly after Halloween. You know, so you broke your diet, but you persevere, you put yourself back, and you hold yourself accountable again. Perseverance is what you need to have to press through. And you add to perseverance, you add godliness. Again, that's developing and demonstrating the same attitudes and actions that correspond with your faith. You allow Jesus to be your model and your guide. And so as you increase in knowledge of him and his word, and you manifest more and more of a life like his, and it's practiced in your day-to-day Christian living. Then to godliness, it says you add, the Greek word there is philadelphos. Ever heard of a town named that? And their motto is the city of? And that's what the Greek word there means, brotherly love. Philos, love, delphos, brother. That's usually the kind of love you have for your in crowd. You know, those are the people you have an emotional bond with that you like, you care about. That's brotherly love. It's your in-crowd. You can express it to other people, but, you know, it's usually expressed with acts of kindness and compassion. But it's pretty much easiest to do with people that you already have that emotional bond with. But then I always found it interesting, this passage. You know, you add brotherly love, and then you add, the next one is agape love, the Greek word agape. And agape is supposed to be expressed whether they're in your in crowd or not. It doesn't matter who you are. That's the only word we're ever commanded. When we're commanded to love, it's with agape. And that means that I will always seek your best interest, even if you don't like it. I will seek the best interest for you and the highest good in your life, regardless of my emotions or my feelings. I will seek to bring the greatest benefit to your relationship between yourself, others, and God. I won't leave God out of it. So you might be having, things might be good between you and somebody else, but you're breaking that relationship with God. So my love for you will be to call you into account for that. Now Peter tells us to add those things. So he said, if you add these in increasing measure, notice that that doesn't have a, add them to the full tank. It's always an increasing measure. You're to always be growing. There's never, it's like knowledge. You always can find more to learn about. If you keep adding these in increasing measure, then he says you will not be unproductive or ineffective. Everything in your Christian life, the way you manifest who God is, you will be productive and effective in declaring who Jesus Christ is. Now, for so many of us, sometimes we don't bother adding too much of this stuff, and we're not productive, and we're not effective. We're kind of like your gardens that are kind of like, well, we don't want to be that kind of Christian. Well, We want to be effective and productive Christians. So I'd encourage you, take note of this passage. Jot down these seven things: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, agape love. 2 Peter chapter 1, you can find them all listed right there. And add those to your daily prayer life. Lord, help me increase and grow in all these areas. Where am I lacking? And allow your faith to be stronger. Make every effort to add these to your faith. Let's pray together. Father, help us to be more productive for you as your Father, as your followers. Lord, may you help us to let our faith grow and increase in all these areas. In Jesus' name.